We live for Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. That's what I'm going to be talking about over the next little bit as we dive into some scripture here. How we're going to be using that Galatians text that has a whole bunch that's packed into it. But it's really talking about living in the Spirit, living for Jesus, living for our Lord and Savior. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Before we dive into the meat of the message, though, I have a question for you. By show of hands, how many would say that you are lifelong members of St. Lawrence Lutheran Church? All right. So how many of you know the mission statement of our congregation or the marching orders that we've had? I'm not going to ask you to say it right now, but maybe out there I will. All right. So what it is to show by word and deed how beautiful it is to live with Jesus. It's some variation of that has been in the fabric of this congregation for 177 years. How cool that is, that this timeless marching order has been given to us, and we get to use that idea as we live for Jesus beyond these walls out into a community that desperately needs to hear it, right? Actually, in all Christians, everywhere should be in the business of showing how beautiful it is to live with Jesus, to go out and to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching is what Jesus would have us do. It's this great commission, this great mission that he would want us to do, to go live out there and reflect the love that Jesus has given to us. He alone is worthy of all our praise and all our work and all our efforts, right? Right. Okay, so here's the thing. Over the course of the last couple of days, and especially in light of the Supreme Court rulings that have happened recently, some of the posts that I've seen on social media from Christians are anything but beautiful. They are filled with gloating and ego and pride. And you know what? The world is going, what? What? They don't understand. Yeah, are we trying to follow the teachings of the Lord? Yes, we are, but are we also doing more harm when we are not living out the calling that God has placed in our life, where we are to be beautiful and reflect the love that Jesus has had? And so, yeah, is that a hard thing for us to hear? Yeah, but maybe we need to hear it from time to time. Walk in the Spirit, Paul says. Don't put rules and regulations, or don't buy into extra rules and regulations that try and take your salvation away from you. There was a whole community that he was teaching to back in his day where they were some church folk that would say, you have to act like this, dress like this, oh, and even get circumcised before God will love you. And Paul pushed back on that. He said, no, there's nothing that can take your salvation away. Jesus has earned it. Do not let anybody do that for you. And that's the promise that you and I have. And it's good that we're here to be reminded of that. We've been given the forgiveness of sins. His word reaching into our hearts and changing and transforming the sinful nature that we have, right? We confessed a little earlier that we fall away from God often, that we do things that follow our own agenda or our own earthly schemes, right? And we do that regularly. And yet God lovingly invites us. He wraps his arm around us and he says, you're still my child. I still love you. I still have a place for you. Paul carries on. He says, listen, the sinful flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the sinful flesh. What is he describing here? He's describing these two viewpoints that are at war with one another. It may feel like there is a war going on with the world versus the conservative Christian church. It may feel like there's a war going on out there between that and what God would have us have in the scriptures and follow. And there is a war. But that war doesn't just beyond these walls. That war is also here inside our hearts. We are sinful human beings. We are sinners. And daily, we need to remind ourselves of the fact that we've been crucified with Christ. We've been anchored with Christ through the waters of the baptism, where he worked faith in our hearts, and he's changing and transforming us. on a regular basis, we need to be reminded of the fact that we are in need of a Savior. You see, what happens a lot of the times, and even Christians will do this from some time to time, is we'll downplay sin in the power that we have. It's almost like we act as if though the devil is like this cartoon on our shoulder going, hey, wouldn't it be fun to do this? What? Well, guess what? The devil is anything but a cartoon. And he wants to see your faith snatched out of your hands. He wants to see you absolutely destroyed and sifted like wheat. And you know what? He wants to use you to do that to other people beyond these walls, where we sit in judgment and we allow our ego and we allow our pride and we allow our self-centeredness to take us just off of center, Christ, and make it about what we think we need to be doing in order to defend things. And when we do that kind of thing, in these tit-for-tat arguments on social media, we're just playing right into the schemes of the devil. Just something to think about. Here's how it goes. We see words like this. Scripture tells it this way. He says, listen, the works of the flesh are this. It's obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, a complete lack of restraint, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, orgies, and things similar to this. And he says, I warn you, look, if you do these kind of things and continue to do so, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we use this in such a way that goes like this. Yep, mm-hmm, okay, I'm good there, I'm good there, I'm good there. Huh, I can justify my soapbox. And I can start calling out every sin out there. As if we're trying to snatch someone's salvation out of their hands. And that's not our place. That's not even our right. It's God who judges. And he uses the church to be a sanctuary for sinners, where he invites us all in. And he came for all to know his love, his mercy, his grace, and his compassion. And so we just, before we worry about what's going on out there, the best thing that we can do is check ourselves right here. Right? I mean, if we were to go through that list, I'm sure there's a handful of things in there that, well, yeah, hatred, anger, sometimes that gets the best of me. There's other sins that aren't listed here that trip you up maybe, or trip me up. Yeah. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And Paul says it this way. He says, listen, you've been forgiven. The eternal war is already won. You have that. Okay? Live in light of that. He says, brothers and sisters, you're called to live free. Don't use that freedom as a starting point for your sinful flesh. Don't let sin trip you up. You got the devil working against you. You got death clamoring at your heels. And you got your own sinful nature trying to pull you away from God. Right? We got enough to worry about. And Paul says it this way. He says, listen, use this whole law summed up in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Folks, we've been given a blessing. We've been given a privilege to love others. And we don't just love those that look like us or act like us or dress like us or speak like us. What good is that if we just love that, right? The Bible says that. We need to be able to have regular conversations and do life and be invitational and say, hey, listen, I don't have this all figured out, but I have a God who loves me and he loves you. And can we just have a conversation? And you know, the best thing that we can do as Christians is to listen, to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Paul has another way for us to live. He says it this way in Galatians. He says, look, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. Patience, kindness. Boys and girls who go to St. Lawrence, do you have any words, like, is this one of your legacy verses, these fruits of the Spirit? Yeah. Have you used and heard these words before? Do you know what it means to love, boys and girls? It means to act in a way that puts somebody else's needs before our own. And so maybe you have something that's a favorite toy that you like playing with, and somebody else wants to play with it. And rather than just say, no, it's mine, what we can do is we can share. And we can say, yeah, thank you. And we can interact with one another. Boys and girls, you can love one another by putting other people's needs first. Do you know what it is to have joy, grown-ups? It is to celebrate the blessings of God that he's given to you. Now listen, how cool would it be if we see this kind of thing out in social media from the Christian community? Not just in social media. Rather, you know what? The more important thing is the real interaction, personal, face-to-face relationships that we get to do with one another. That's a gift. That's a blessing when we get to do life with one another. And we were starving when that was cut off from us, when we couldn't meet with one another, when this pandemic was ruling the day. There were so many conversations that were had over that. Boy, I would just want to meet and hang out with people. And we have that opportunity again. How cool would it be if it looked like this, that we show love and joy and peace, which means we recognize we've been forgiven. We don't have to measure up to the world's standards. Laws or no laws, we don't have to measure up to those standards. We know what's right because of what Scripture tells us, and we stick to that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. That's a beautiful picture. And so the question is now, because of what Jesus has done for you, you're a forgiven, set free child of God. You have heaven. You have eternal life. That's yours. Away from you. If you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's yours. So what do we get to do with it? Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, you've given me today. How can I show someone how beautiful it is to live with you in a way that's meaningful, right? Or maybe you have a vice or a sin that you're struggling with and you wouldn't want anybody to know about it. Maybe it's something like lust or alcohol abuse or something that's pretty devastating for you. Maybe if you just go, Lord, I'm struggling here with this. I need your Spirit here, just an extra measure to help me push back this temptation. Help me get this right, Lord, so that I can be a reflection of your light and love to people that need to hear it out there. Help me to live beautifully. Church, can we show how beautiful it is to live with Jesus? Can we take that marching order and make it ours? Okay, one or two of us. It's all of us. It's hopefully going to be around another 177 more years, right? To go out there and show how beautiful it is to live with Jesus, to take stock in the blessings that he's given us. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's to live in the Spirit. It's to recognize that we don't want to be tripped up by our sins, and we can't do this alone. We have a God who loves us, who's right there as our firm foundation, and he's given us that, right? He's given you life. He's given you a new heart. And so what we can do is we can wake up and we can use our breath that we've been given every day to make an eternal difference in the kingdom. It's not about us. It's about what God's doing, and he allows us to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.